Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by The Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we hope you stay tuned as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. Have you ever walked out, let's say, on an overlook and gazed up into the clear night and watched with amazement the starlit firmament or the spectacular northern lights and asked, "How did the stars and the northern lights get there, so high and so awesome and so out of human touch?" The Scriptures have the answer. The Bible begins, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. "God said, let there be light, and there was light," verse 3. "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night," verse 14. God made two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to rule the day, the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. He made the stars also. King David declared, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork," Psalm chapter 19, verse 1. As day and night comes and goes, God's creative and almighty power is revealed. The heavens provide us with a forceful and effective argument for an intelligent, controlling, and governing God, wrote Tom Waycaster. The Apostle Paul affirmed, "Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. The Hebrews writer proclaimed, "For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God." Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. We know that many of you in our audience acknowledge God and recognize His miraculous creation of the universe and all the things that are in it. God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. That's the God that loves me. That supreme being loves you. Consider and reflect with us on this question. What's God's concern for me? I'm included in that question. The Scriptures reveal the traits and the attributes of our living God. A trait is a quality that makes one person or thing different from another. God is different from man. "For I am God, and not man, the Holy One in your midst," Hosea chapter 11 and verse 9. An attribute is a word ascribing a quality, an intelligent feature, by which a thing may be identified. Consider these traits and attributes of God. The psalmist declared God's omniscience, His omnipresence, His omnipotence in Psalm chapter 139, verses 1 through 15. Open your Bibles to that passage of Scripture. God is omniscient. "You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've enclosed me. You are on every side of me, both behind and in front of me, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." Verses 1 through 6. God knows everything. God has unlimited understanding. God has complete and universal knowledge. God is omnipresent. God's omnipresence is revealed in verses 7 through 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me, indeed the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Verses 7 through 12. The Apostle John wrote, heaven has no need of the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. But God is also omnipotent. That is, He's all-powerful. The psalmist praises God's omnipotence in verses 13 through 15 of chapter 139 of the book of Psalms. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. God has complete and unlimited power, but God is all-seeing. Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, proclaimed concerning her situation, you are the God who sees, Genesis chapter 16 and verse 13. God does see everything. God's eyes are on the ways of man, and He sees all his steps, Job chapter 34 and verse 21. Solomon wrote, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. Zechariah asserted, the eyes of the Lord scan to and fro throughout the whole earth, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. The Hebrews writer declared, there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of God, to whom we must give account, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Our God is omniscient. He knows everything. Our God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Our God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Our God is all-seeing. He sees everything. Perhaps of all the notable attributes of God, His love for you and me is the greatest. This all-knowing God, who is present everywhere, who created the heavens and the earth and all the creatures, is in control of the universe. God knows and sees everything we say and do. God loves me. God loves you. God loves everyone. God's love for us is revealed in words in Scripture. Love is expressed by four different words in the Septuagint translation of the Old Testament and in the New Testament. A. Physical love. B. Family love. C. Affectionate love. D. Agape love, as recorded in John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That means brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, according to the Greek lexicon. Agape love is employed by the Holy Spirit to pinpoint and highlight God's love for us. God is love, John wrote. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. Again, he who does not love does not know God, For God is love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. Greek scholar A.T. Robertson makes this clarification. John does not say that love is God, but only that God is love. The two terms are not interchangeable. Bible commentator Roy Lanier wrote, God is love in the sense that love is the essential quality of his being. No love would equal no God. Without love, he could not be God. God rules out of love for man. God commands instructions for the good of man because he loves man. God will judge us all someday in love. Nothing God does or has ever done was prompted in the absence of love. God is love, and everything he does is done in love. Love rules without a sword. Love binds without a cord. Love is more than a characteristic of God. It is his character. God's love is exhibited by what he's done for us. How much does God love you and me? God demonstrated his supreme love when he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul declared, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. God shows his love for us. John the disciple of love wrote, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. John chapter 15 and verse 13. God loves us so much. John 3:16 is sometimes called the golden text of the Bible. It contains just 25 words. Sometimes John 3:16 is scripted on a large placard and displayed in stadiums at ball games. Virtually every word of this wonderful scripture is full of meaningful expressions of God's love for us. Let's examine in more detail some of the phrases of John 3:16. God so loved. How much did God love humanity? The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, employed terms that we use in measurements to describe God's love for us. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, how wide, and length, how long, and depth, how deep, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. The width or breadth of God's love reaches to every race, every rank, every position, every status, every culture, every civilization, every tribe, every clan or family, and every language in the entire world. That's how inclusive God's love is. Listen to Dr. Luke's description of the Lord's mission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. That's the width of God's love. The length of God's love is extended to all. Jesus died for everyone. Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste of death for everyone. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. God loves us. Jesus loves us. The length of God's love is from age to age and from beginning to the end of time. John wrote, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. John chapter 13, verse 1. And Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. John chapter 19 and verse 30. God loves us. The depth of God's love reaches to the bottom of the sea, as it were, to redeem the chief of sinners. Paul wrote, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. The height of God's love is demonstrated when corrupt, vile, and wicked individuals are raised through submission and obedience to the Lord's will from the slime pits of sin and elevated to sit with Christ in heavenly places. He declared, but God, being rich in mercy, cause of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. John writes, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him, Christ, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. God loves us. Jesus loves us. The Holy Spirit loves us. You and I cannot fathom the width, the length, the depth, nor the height of God's great love for us. Agape love is vividly and affectionately described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How Christians should love. This scripture is one of the most detailed and comprehensive texts in all the Bible about love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Observe what love does and does not do. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boil with jealousy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not anxious to impress. Love is not puffed up. Love is not arrogant. Love is not conceited. Love does not cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Love does not behave rudely. Love is not unmannerly. Love does not seek its own. Love does not insist on its rights. Think about that concept in our present society. Love is not provoked, not quick to take offense, not touchy. Love thinks no evil, keeps no score of wrongs. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth, glad when truth prevails. Love bears all things. Love can overlook faults. There is nothing that love cannot face. Love knows no limits to its endurance. Love believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Love will never come to an end. Love shall never pass away. Love never disappears. But whether there are prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there are tongues, they'll cease. Whether there is knowledge, miraculous knowledge, that is, it'll vanish away. But now abide a faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Love is more easily demonstrated than defined. The Scriptures affirm God's love for us through what Christ did for us. Jesus willingly gave his life for us. I lay down my life for the sheep. John 10 and 15. The Lord continues his affirmation, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay my life down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up." John chapter 10 and verse 18. Paul was a murderer. "When the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death." Acts chapter 22 and verse 20. God loved Paul. God loves murderers. God loves us. God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. God makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43 through 45. That's the kind of God who loves me. That's the kind of God who loves you. John wrote, "He himself is the atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. If there had been only one person in all the world that was lost, Jesus would have died for that one person. That's matchless love. What an act in its completeness. What a love in tender sweetness. Jesus loves us all. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. God's final invitation is free and open to all. "Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. Jesus pleaded, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." John chapter 14 and verse 15. We cannot undo any sin we've committed, but Jesus Christ, because of his atoning sacrifice on the cross, can and is willing to pardon us if we conform to the plan of redemption. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever endure, the saints and angels' song. If you have a question or a comment about our lesson, call 907-841-9261. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.